I want to talk to you about ruling the night. It's the title of my message, is Ruling the Night. You know, the truth is that earth life is, it's very short. It doesn't always seem short, especially for the young people, you know, that seems like they've got forever in front of them. But the truth is that, you know, these years that we have in the earth, especially in relation to eternity, it's a short time. And we need to be effective with our time. We need to be alert in our earth life, not just going along a foot in front of foot, not just making a way. We need to be alert in this life. We need to be awake in this life. You know, there's actually a scripture in the Bible written to Christians that says, awake, you know. So we as Christians, we have to be alert. We have to be awake. And we need to be healthy. All right. Certainly we need to be physically healthy. If our bodies aren't healthy, it's going to be hard for us to get our assignments done. But certainly we need to be spiritually healthy. And the truth is that if you'll get spiritually healthy, if you'll endeavor to feed on the food that is in Christ Jesus, you'll have a better chance of your body being healthy because your spirit is healthy. They're connected. But in earth life, God, when He created the earth, He created day and night. He created day and night to track time, but He also created day and night for us to sleep. Okay? It's gonna be interesting tonight. The night was given as our time to sleep. And the current system that we're in with our soul in the earth, with our body in the earth, is that we're under a system where we're made to need sleep. Okay? Our makeup is that we need sleep. We're not made to run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're made to shut down and sleep. The truth is that there are a few things that we absolutely, every person in the earth, whether spiritual or not spiritual, whether saved or unsaved, there's things that we require. We all require oxygen. Take a deep breath. We all require oxygen. Praise the Lord. We all require food. Okay? Your body, in order for your body to be sustained, you have to have food. We all require water. Our body is made up of water. We need water. We also need sleep. Sleep is in the same category as us needing oxygen, as us needing food, as us needing water. We need sleep. And so sleep really is very important, okay? Now, because life is short, we don't want to sleep our life away. We don't want to oversleep. Listen, this is a problem for some people. Listen, you don't want to sleep your life away, wake up one day and realize, you know, that you slept through pretty much everything that went on and just barely maintained what was necessary. But on the other hand, life is too short to not get enough adequate sleep. Because sleep is important to your life, okay? It's important that you get enough sleep. It's tied to your health. It's tied to your productivity. It's tied to your effectiveness. Your sleep or your lack of affects your mind. It affects your, we could say, your soul. Your mind is part of your soul, but really it affects your emotions. I know people, I won't look around, but I know people that can get really cranky or really not well if they don't get adequate sleep. Come on. Sleep affects our emotions. It affects our minds. It affects our body. Proper sleep prevents burnout. Sleeping is supernatural. There's supernatural. There's things that go on in our bodies when we sleep. Our body recovers when we sleep. Our body renews when we sleep. Our body recharges when we sleep. Our body repairs when we sleep. There's all these things that take place in our soul and in our body when we sleep. Amen? Can we agree on that?
Amen.
Right? Okay, so you know that the devil hates people, right? I mean, it's very clear from the Bible that the devil hates people. He hates Christians, but truthfully, he hates all people. And why does he hate us? Well, one reason he hates us is because we're made in the image of God. Okay? We are the only God kind in the earth. And so when the devil sees people, he sees God. He hates people. Another reason that the devil hates us so much is because of how much God loves us. Okay? So the devil is out to destroy God's creation, the thing that God loves most. His goal is to steal, as John 10:10 tells us, to steal, kill, and destroy us, our lives, everything that pertains to us. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. So, you know, we have to get it straight on the record. There is a devil. He doesn't run around. He's not a make-believe cartoon character that runs around in a red suit with a pitchfork. He's a real spiritual character, all right? And he is out to mess with your life. And I have found that one way that he messes with people's life is in the sleep arena. Come on. The truth is that since Satan came into the earth, he has been working to rule the earth. He's been working to dominate the earth. And it seems like, I'll talk about this a little bit tonight, but it seems like in some measure, in some areas, his work is heightened. It's more prevalent in the night. Now, whether there's a correlation between the fact that God's kingdom is called the kingdom of light and the devil's kingdom is called the kingdom of darkness, whether there's some correlation, because when obviously God created the world and it was beautiful and it was perfect in the beginning and there was day and there was night. But we know that when the devil came in, there was curse that came into the earth. There was things that were attached with him, with his kingdom. And so whether there's some significance, some tie between natural light and the kingdom of light, and there's a tie between dark, the night, and the kingdom of darkness, I'm not real sure. But I can tell you this, that it's prevalent that the devil works at night. You know, all the evil stuff, you know, let's look at Halloween. Halloween is all around the night. You know, people want to come out in their costumes at night. It's all about the night. The ghost stuff is set at night. You know, kids are scared of the boogeyman. He comes out at night. It's all about the night. You really, during the day, it seems like we're a little more okay. And it might be because we are in the light. There is a lot. There's something about being able to see. There's something about being able to know what's going on. So whether there's a correlation, I don't really know. But I do know this, that the devil is predominantly, in many situations, working in the night season. And so if we're going to be effective in kingdom living, and we're going to get our job done, and we're going to get done what God wants done, we're going to have to learn to rule the night. Okay? Because I want to tell you, this maybe hopefully is not a topic you've heard before, but much of the devil robs people by messing with their sleep. He makes them unproductive. He makes them ineffective. He messes with them through their sleep. You know, we can all agree that demonic activity is very prominent at night. I got delivered. I had a very deep connection or a deep oppression with fear when I first got spirit-filled. I had soul-based fear, fears that were in my soul. I had spirit stuff. I had stuff that would, and they always messed with me at night. When I would lay down and try to go to sleep is when they would start showing up in my room and messing with me and just, you know, crazy. So we can all agree that in the night, all of the more manifestations happen in the night than in the daytime. You know, if you were to study things that people that practice the dark side, the darkness, they do stuff at night. So there's some significance about this night thing. We can see that many, many times when you try to lay down and go to sleep, that's when, you know, your mind, man, now it's like boom, boom, boom. Worry about this. Worry about this. How's this going to happen? Boom, boom. You know, and your mind is just like going whoa, 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 like this at night. Anybody ever had that? Come on. Everybody ever had that? Not quite so much during the day. Maybe because we're doing other things, but maybe just because in that moment, when we're beginning to wind down, there's something about the darkness that tries to come. being in a sleep. Man, you get to sleep and then sometimes you have dreams and sometimes your dreams wake you up. Even pizza dreams, you know, not that they can wake you up. They can mess with your sleep. Nightmares. There's all kind of things that go on really to mess with our sleep. Have you ever noticed this? That many sicknesses are more prominent in night than they are in day. Why is it that we have fever at night a whole lot more than we do during the day? There's medical studies that prove that arthritis flares up more at night than in the day. There's other studies that show that asthma symptoms show up at night or they worsen at night. Well, I know a couple of things I know about asthma and a couple of things I know about arthritis is that most of them are spirit-based. I find it interesting that there's a connection there. I was reading some articles about this, you know, just trying to, because, you know, the medical community, praise God for the medical community, praise God for medical research, praise God for medical findings. We're all happy about that. Of course, they want to try to put everything in a natural scientific thing that they can correlate to. And some of those things are true, absolutely. But I do know this, that we have the name and the blood of Jesus so that we can overcome. And one thing that they were saying is that it seems that our immune system, it's possible. They're doing a whole bunch of studies now. It's kind of a whole new field. They have a word for it now, and they're calling it a new field where they're doing all these studies to try to find out why does it seem that sicknesses are more prevalent at night than it is during the day. And one thing that they're wondering is if it's possible that our immune system kind of takes a couple of steps back and lowers itself at night. And so I was reading that and I was thinking, well, wow, you know what? God would not have created man with an immune system that was not sufficient to take care of itself at night. Amen. So even if that is happening, it's happening as some result of the curse, which means then that we get to reverse the curse. And don't have to live under what we're seeing.
That's right.
All right? And so my goal tonight is just to help you realize that, you know, your sleep is valuable. Your sleep is important. It's a natural part of life, but it was a natural part built in us by God. And so if we're going to be effective in the earth, we're going to have to learn to get our proper sleep, which really boils down to us spiritually learning to rule the night. Okay? So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about some things about that spiritually, you know, dominating at night so that we're just not open to any and everything that comes on. You know, when we lose sleep, there's lots of repercussions that go with that. But the truth is that God has given us a covenant. He's given us a covenant where we're supposed to have good sleep, where we're supposed to have sweet sleep, and we're supposed to have it consistently. All right. So I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. I don't want you to turn there tonight because we're going to be short here. We're going to get this done. I'm going to read some of them to you. But I want you to know that part of this effort is that we have to have faith that we can sleep, that we're supposed to sleep. Now, this is not a rule and not trying to put a certain number of hours on people at all times. It's not what this is about. Okay. You have to know with the Holy Spirit what your body requires. I believe that if you have to do something for a few days where you can't sleep, you ought to be able to use your faith to overcome that. But what I'm talking about is the devil robbing you of your sleep. There's a lot of people that deal with insomnia. They deal with racing mind. They deal all kinds of things, and they haven't yet learned how to get that under their belt, how to get that fixed. I want you to have faith that we can get that fixed. We don't have to learn. We don't have to live whereby we can't sleep at night. When people say that, it makes me cringe. Not at them, but it makes me mad that the devil's robbed. We need to realize the devil's robbing us. Amen. If you can't sleep, he's robbing you. Amen. There's a thief in the house, and you got to get him out. You know? So we're going to have to get ourselves on top of this and realize that it is possible to sleep and have sweet sleep, even in difficult situations. Amen. Hey, listen, Jesus was in the midst of a storm in the back of a boat. And he found a way to sleep. Peter was in prison scheduled to get his head cut off the next morning. And when the angel appeared, he was asleep. I say, if Jesus did it, if Jesus learned how to sleep, listen, Jesus was busy. Jesus had opposition. I mean, you know, he wasn't like just walking through an easy life with nothing. He was confronting darkness. He was confronting a religious system. He was confronting things at all points and all times, but yet he slept. If Jesus did it, we can do it. If the early church did it, we can do it. Amen. So let me give you a couple of scriptures here about God's word on sleep. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. He gives us sleep. God gives us sleep. It's a covenant right to sleep. It's a covenant right to lay your head on the pillow and be able to go to sleep. It's a covenant right that God gives us, that we can sleep. Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Amen. Hear that? Listen, David just had, faith in the fact that he was just going to lay his head down on the pillow and he was going to awake, having slept well. I love the next scripture. It says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. How many of you have 10,000 people that are chasing you, trying to kill you, run you out of town? How many of you have that? Let me see how many of you have that. Oh, yeah, but in the midst of that, David found a way to sleep. But yet we're living in some stress of life, and we think it's okay. That's the point here tonight, is it's not okay. It's not okay. I hate when the devil gets a one-up. I hate that because Jesus died so that we don't have to let him get one-ups. And most of the time he gets a one-up and then he gets another one-up and he gets another one-up. And before you know it, we're living just pretty much like thinking this is the way it is with his one-ups on us all the time. Makes me mad. Makes me mad. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen. We're just supposed to be able to lay down and peacefully go to sleep. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Hallelujah. So listen, if we're going to sleep well, we're going to have to rule the night. Right, God created us to rule the day, and he created us to rule the night. God, the Bible says in Psalm 121, verse 4, it says that God never slumbers and God never sleeps. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God is spirit, John chapter 4, verse 24. All right? God is spirit, not a spirit. He is spirit. He is made up of spirit. Guess who else is spirit? We are spirit. Spirit, soul, and body, all right? So if God, who is spirit, never sleeps, that means my spirit never sleeps. It's my soul and my body that require sleep, but my spirit never sleeps. Come on, the kingdom of God never sleeps. Come on, the kingdom of God is always awake. The kingdom of God is always alive. The kingdom of God is always working. Come on, the kingdom of God in you is always awake. Come on, the kingdom of God in you is always alert. The kingdom of God in you is always working. We're supposed to rule the night. We're supposed to rule the night. Listen, folks, we're supposed to rule the night. There's a way to set our spirit where it rules in the night so that our body and our soul doesn't get affected. It's true. So we know that man was created in a covenant with God. Then we know that the fall happened, but praise the Lord, through Jesus Christ, we now have restored covenant with God. And so we go back to the original purpose and the plan of God as to what we have covenant, what we have authority. So look at what it says in Genesis 1:28. It says, God blessed them. This was in the very beginning. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Okay? We're supposed to subdue all that is earth life. That means it's supposed to be under our rule. It's supposed to be under our dominion. We see in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, for those that have received Jesus Christ, that have received the gift of righteousness, they will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be ruling and reigning in life. Guess what life includes? It includes the night season. And this is where I think sometimes maybe why it is that we see things are heightened at night and we seem to fall subject to things a little more at night is that, you know, well, we've done the work day. We've been at work all day. It's been a lot of work. We've been trying to exercise wisdom. We've been trying to follow the leading of the Lord. You know, it's like we get home and we kick off our shoes and it's just like everything go down. It's like, it seems like. You know, in your own home, in the comfort of your home, you should be able to just relax and wind down. But I think sometimes doing that spiritually, we take our guard down. Okay? We're called to rule in the day and rule at night. We have to have faith in the day and faith at night. We don't live by faith in the day and then come home and the day's done. Woo, the day's done. Woo, I'm going to sit here and just vegetate. And No. We still live by faith in the night. We have to rule in the night. That's how God created it. He gave us complete authority. Remember that? Psalm 8 said that we were created. He crowned us with glory, but that He gave us dominion over all the works of His hands. Everything that's in the earth, a work of God, we have dominion over. So we have dominion over the night. Praise the Lord. We can and we should rule the night. Amen. Is anybody with me?
Yes.
You know, this is what I love about Christianity is that we get to find the little places where we haven't yet looked, where all the little things hide. And the little, you know, we all believe in divine health. Don't we all believe in that? Amen. Don't we all believe in divine health? Yes, and we're all applying our faith toward that and doing our best to walk in faith and to walk in divine hell. But, you know, I've begun to realize that we haven't turned over all the little stones of where things are hiding. Because if the devil is messing with your sleep, he's messing with your health. I guarantee it. I guarantee. If he's messing with your sleep, he's messing with your health. Okay, so tonight we're unturning some stones here so that we can get this out in the open. We've got to keep our, we've got to set our spirit in charge. We've got to set our spirit in the alert mode. And then we've got to keep our soul and our body on guard. And sometimes that means getting on the offense. Sometimes when you go home at the end of the day, even though you're wanting to kick back and relax, and you're going to have to use a little offensive measures. Sometimes we can't always be on the defense. Especially with night things. You know, you go to bed at night and maybe you feel just a little bit of a scratch in your throat. It doesn't feel perfect. And you're so sleepy. And you just think, maybe if I just lay my head on the pillow, I can wake up in the morning and it will be gone. No. It really does not very rarely work that way. What happens in the morning is now you went to bed and you didn't really do what you needed to do, and now you're subject at night, and you wake up in the morning, and now your throat is like, why? The little bitty scratch is now like a blinking red light. Whereas if you would have dealt with it and got on the offense with it and shored yourself up, you would have had a much better chance of waking up refreshed and renewed and full of life the next morning. All right? So sometimes, and that's why I think that the devil attacks at night. He'd rather wait till you're asleep and then wake you up and you're half like this and it's only like a half response in the name of Jesus. And you just hope that's good enough and, you know, put your head back down. Sometimes if we will get on the offense, if we will set ourselves in a proper state before we go to bed. Listen, I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. I had to get things out of my room. They were consistently in my room messing with me. Just crazy stuff, nightmares, torture, just wild stuff. And I had to realize that if I didn't learn to do something spiritually to overcome it, that it wasn't going to just go away. Okay? So we're going to have to learn how to rule the night, how to make sure when we're awake that we've set ourselves in a spiritual place whereby we go through the night season with sweet sleep. Amen. Knowing that we're not going to wake up sick, we're not going to wake up, you know, not our mind all. Okay, so how are we going to do this? This is the point of the message tonight. Are you ready? How are we going to do this? Well, first of all, we're going to do it by faith. Amen. Everything in the Bible comes by faith. We're going to have to do it by faith on purpose. Okay? Now, there's a general process to this faith life. It works in the area of ruling the night. It works in the area of your finances. It works in the area of health. And here's how it goes. Number one is you have to get initial faith established in your heart. You have to recognize that I'm going to have to get the truth of God's word, what God says about healing, what God says about finances, what God says about me ruling the night. I'm going to have to get that established in my heart. And so that is an initial establishment. And sometimes it can take a while. Most of the time it's not just one scripture. Most of the time it's not just one sentence. Most of the time it's not just saying something, rebuking the devil one time. They're getting it established, getting it fixed in your heart. And that's between you and the Lord as to how long that's going to take and what it's going to be required. But the Holy Spirit will help you. But that stage one is you have to get it established, okay, in your heart. And listen, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. There's no fool in the spirit world, okay? Just because you want to have it established, but you don't really have revelation in your heart, and you're just hoping when I say the name of Jesus that sickness has to leave me, it's not going to work like that. Because the spirit world knows when you're saying something, if it's based in faith, if it's coming from your heart, if it carries the power with it to deliver, the spirit world knows. So number one, you have to get it in your heart. You have to get it established. That's the initial establishment. Number two then is then we learn to live with a daily maintaining faith. Okay? This is like a good example of this is with your finances. When y'all got in the kingdom, y'all had to learn all the stuff about finances, getting rid of your poverty mentality, you know, that you were going to be required to work, that you needed to get. You had to learn all the principles and get them in your heart. And in the midst of that, you were working to get your money lined out. It was intense, right? I mean, you had to put some spiritual effort into that. But once you got the principles in you, then you begin to live daily from what I call a daily maintaining faith. You're not having to walk around every day. Money cometh. You know, my cup runneth over. You can say that, but you're not having to do that to get the bucket full. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It's like now you're living in the reality daily of what's in your heart. Okay? And you're led by the Spirit, and occasionally, you know, you might say, but it's from a living, abiding, maintaining what's in your heart. And number three is then, from that place, on occasions, at times, in situations, in circumstances, you'll have the need for an extra release of your faith. Something will come up and you'll recognize with the Holy Ghost, yes, I need to say some things here. For this week, I need to come out. You know, I've got something that needs to happen here. And so it's an extra little effort that you're giving from the faith that you have in your heart. Y'all understand that? So that's how this works with everything. It's how it works with finances. It's how it works with health. And it's how it works with ruling the night. Okay? You're going to have to first get established in your heart that you're able to rule the night. Okay? And it might take a lot of effort. I mean, it might take you really spending all of your evening time as far as any spiritual time toward this effort. Okay? But then you start making it work. You start making yourself be able to sleep. And you have to do it until you've proved out the establishment of your heart by the fact that you can lay your head down and go to sleep. Once you start doing that, then you're in a place where now you learn to live from that. And it's only in a moment, in a time maybe you have something going on, where you start to lay down and you feel that little thought, that little and you address that. But many times, I lay down to sleep at night most of the times, not having to say anything, do anything. But it wasn't always like that. There are occasionally nights when something will hit me and usually I get up. I get up out of the bed. I'm not a good lay in bed. You might be. Praise God if you are. But for me, usually I have to get up and I have to get up and do whatever needs to get done. Okay? All right. So now we're going to talk about some things that we're going to have to do to rule the night. Are you ready? Here's the main key. Number one, you have to set your spirit at guard. And then you have to rest in Christ so as to sleep and awake in Him. Wouldn't that be awesome? To go to sleep in Christ, not in your soul, not in your thoughts, to go to sleep in Christ and to wake up in Christ, that's the goal, okay? We have to believe this, that God is with us. We have to believe that our spirit is awake. We have to believe that we are dominating so as to rule at night. I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ, so he who establishes you in Christ and has anointed you is God. God has established, not yourself. God has established your life in Christ. And God has anointed you. He's given you power. He's put the Spirit on you for your life in Christ. God did it. I find sometimes that we forget that, you know, as faith people, we start putting a lot of pressure on us. No, it's God. It's us working with God, but it's God. He's the one that's established your life in Christ. He's the one that's anointed you. You're not trying to get anointing. You are anointed. And it's sufficient. It's sufficient to rule at night. You are sufficiently equipped right now. If you're saved, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you are sufficiently equipped to rule the night. There's not one reason why any of us ought to have a struggle sleeping. In any season, for any reason, it ought not have to happen because you're anointed to rule at night. You're anointed by God. He has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Hallelujah. Okay, so here are some things. I'm going to run through these 8 things. These are not in order. These are not giving as a rule book. These are just tips for you to learn how to rule the night. So these are things that you need to consider possibly doing sometimes. If you're getting it established, maybe you're going to have to do it a lot. Maybe you need to do all of them. Maybe you need to do some of them. But here's the list. Are you ready? Number one, before you go to bed, not when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're trying to remember this and you're tired and you're worn out. No, before you go to bed, you need to set the course for your sleep. Number one, you need to plead or sprinkle the blood of Jesus and declare protection. Okay? We've been given a weapon. It's called the blood of Jesus. It's the highest currency in the spirit world. It settles everything. It's the payment for everything. Okay? So we need to understand the blood. We need to learn to use the blood. We need to speak the blood. We need to cover ourselves in the blood. I mean, you can cover your mind in the blood. You can cover your house in the blood. You can cover everything. Sprinkle the blood. Be you know, get familiar with the blood and use the blood of Jesus. Amen. All right. And declare protection. Declare protection over yourself. Declare protection over your dreams. Declare whatever it is in the area that's bothering you. Declare protection over your mind. Declare protection over your job. If you're worried about your job, if you're worried about your money, declare protection. This is the active part of us using our faith and setting the course for what's going to happen at night. Take authority over anything evil and everything contrary to God. Especially if you're having a season where you're having visitations or something's happening for you at night. Take authority over it before it happens. Don't wait for it and then try to get on the defense. No, we have an offensive weapon, the Bible says. It's the Word of God. So we get the Word out of our mouth and we declare protection. I'm going to give you a couple scripture references. I'm not going to read them, but write them down. Revelations 12, 11, 1 Peter 1, chapter 2, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and Psalm 91 is a great one. If you have not learned Psalm 91, you ought to be able to recite Psalm 91. I'll repeat them again. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, in Psalm 91. These are just one of hundreds of thousands that are in the Bible that you can use. Number two, again, not in any order, and you're not having to do all of these, but this is how you learn to rule the night. Number two is you declare life, you declare health, you declare blessings, you declare prosperity, you declare the fullness of your covenant. You settle the things that try to mess with you at night, the thoughts, the worries, the doubts, the concern. You settle your health. You settle everything. You settle it by declaring, all right? The Bible says that we're heirs with God and we're joint heirs with Christ in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. You've got covenant rights. You've got covenant rights and you got to declare them because Job chapter 22 verse 28 says, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you so that light will shine on your way. You have to declare it so God can establish it. We don't just lay down and hope that, you know, no, just a few words out of your mouth from your heart declare what is yours. Number three is to pray restfully. I say restfully because, you know, if you're trying to go to sleep, you don't want to be like, you know, this, working yourself up. So you're going to have to, this is about taking yourself down and learning to rule your spirit at night from a powerful place and not where you're working yourself up. So then, you know, now you got to go run around the block for an hour or something to take yourself back down. Pray restfully and fellowship with the Lord. Okay? You're going to have to fellowship. We've got fellowship with God. We've got fellowship with Jesus the Son. We have communion with the Holy Spirit. This helps you to put your mind upon them. This is where you cultivate your love affair. You know, your mind is always going to go toward where your words go to. So this is about you talking and having a relationship with God. Okay? Why do you do that? Because when you start talking to God and looking at God, all of the other stuff grows dim. All of the other stuff, the job, the stresses, grows dim. Okay? Making sure that you're cultivating your love affair, and this is where you're connecting with the presence of God. You can connect with God. Doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out process. You can learn to very quickly connect with the presence of God, and then you can sleep in the presence of God so that you wake up in the presence of God. Okay? So number three is about prayerfully, restfully communing with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord. Number four, you're going to have to cast your cares over to Him. For many of you that have racing minds, thoughts that you can't, you're going to have to do this scripture. God actually said it. He meant it. Okay? Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden or roll your cares on the Lord and He shall sustain you. If you don't roll them over to the Lord, He's not able to sustain you in that area. You're trying to sustain yourself. You've got to cast your care. We know 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Cast. The word cast means to fling. I'm not talking about just to casually. I'm talking about fling it off. Fling off the thoughts. Fling off the worries. Fling off the stresses. Fling them off. If you don't fling them off, they're going to remain. Okay? Number five. Talking about ruling the night, things to do is number five, be thankful. Just be thankful. Just turn your heart, just turn your mind toward thankfulness. Just begin to thank God. Come on, just begin to count your blessings. Just begin to count your blessing. You know, when you were young, most of you, probably, I don't know if they still do this anymore, but, you know, they used to try to get you into the thing of counting something, count the sheep, count the whatever. I say it's better just to count your blessings. Come on, just count your blessings. Just be real thankful to the Lord. That helps you to consider His promises. It helps you again to begin to think on the good things, and that puts your soul in a restful place. Okay? Because when we think upon the Lord, when we think upon His goodness, His promises, we're able to rest our soul in the truth of who He is. All right? Psalm 116, verse 17 is a good one for that. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Both of those talk about giving a sacrifice of thanksgiving or always giving thanks in everything. And they mention the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've had people tell me sometimes in a moment like that, man, I can't think of anything. It's like it just escapes me. I can't think of a scripture. Think on the name of Jesus. If nothing else, just begin to be thankful for the name. I'm thankful for the name of Jesus. I'm thankful for the name of Jesus. And as a Christian, of course, as you begin doing that, then things will begin to come up because everything is in the name. Amen. Amen. All right? So you got to express it. You got to count your blessings. And sometimes you just have to make your soul do it. You know, bless the Lord, all my soul. Hey, listen up, soul. Hey, listen, soul. We're going to be thankful. These are the things that are going to help you rule the night. Number 6, clean your heart gently and rest in His mercy and His grace. How many of you can agree that physically it feels better to go to bed clean? Come on. Okay. It's the same way spiritually. All right? Whatever it is that's bothering you, certainly don't go to bed mad. Don't go to bed bitter. Don't go to bed offended. All right? Don't do it. Just with the Lord, just let it out of your heart. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to help you. Just let it go so that you don't have that bother you. Don't go to bed sad. Don't go to bed depressed. If you go to bed that way, you're going to wake up that way. It's about going to bed in Him so that we wake up in Him and in the middle with sweet, peaceful sleep that your life requires. Okay? A good scripture for that, Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. I love this. Arise and cry out in the night. At the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Come on, sometimes you just got to pour out your heart. If something's bothering you, pour out your heart. Just expose your heart to the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 8 is another one there. Number seven here is to renew and to refresh yourself spiritually, again gently, but praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Helps you get full. This helps you get your spirit soaked, saturated, full up. Remember, it's your spirit that's what? It's your spirit that's not sleeping. All right, you don't want to go to bed having not fed your spirit all day long. If you've not fed your spirit all day long, your spirit is not going to be strong. Okay? So when you go to bed, what is sustaining you at night? The Lord sustaining you through your spiritual life. It's not your soul. Your soul is asleep. It's not your body. Your body is asleep. It's your spirit. Make sure your spirit is strong. Make sure your spirit is refreshed. Make sure your spirit is full of God before you go to bed. I love this scripture, Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he will say, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.'" Tongues is the restful place. It takes us into the resting place. Tongues brings a refreshing. The last part of that scripture says, yet they would not hear. And this is where much of the body of Christ is today. Totally, again, taking out the benefits that we have of praying in the Spirit. You ought to pray in the Spirit before you go to bed, and you ought to pray in the Spirit when you wake up. If you learn to train your spirit like that, you'll be a lot healthier and your sleep will be a whole lot better. Jude 20 says that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. So there's something about, and I'm not talking about doing this for 30 minutes. Listen, I'm not talking about that. I'm just having to share some things that will help you rule the night more effectively so that you can get the proper amount of sleep and be an effective, powerful Christian. You know, we can't use our faith to overcome how God created us. Because God created us, and that's the way it works. We need sleep, and it's got to be sweet. Amen. Amen? Number eight, declare peace, declare rest, and declare your sweet sleep. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and He lives on the inside of us. So if we're laying down and it's not peaceful, it means we haven't tapped into the internal place of abiding in Him yet. And that's the place from which we sleep. He's the restorer of our soul. Psalm 116 verse 7 says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Our soul was created to rest. Okay? Jeremiah 31 verse 26 says, "After this I awoke, I looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me." That ought to be our testimony when we wake up in the morning, is that our sleep was sweet. If you will do this, if you will do some of these, if you will do all of, you're going to have to monitor with the Holy Spirit where you're at and what's necessary. But I just want to tell you that the devil's been robbing the body of Christ because he's messing with people in their sleep. And so if you will do these things, if you will set your course so that you can rule at night, your life will be settled. Your sleep will be settled. Your sleep will be sweet. Your sleep will be consistent. It won't be a struggle every night to make yourself go to sleep. This is the way that we do it. We're created to rule by day and to rule by night. Amen? Amen. Let me run through eight one more time just as a quick recap. Number one, plead or sprinkle the blood of Jesus and declare protection. Number two, declare life, health, blessings, prosperity, the fullness of your covenant. Number three, pray restfully and fellowship with the Lord. Number four, cast your cares over to Him. Number five, be thankful and consider His promises. Number six, clean your heart and rest in His grace and His mercy. Number seven, renew and refresh spiritually by praying or speaking in the Spirit or singing in the Spirit. Number eight, declare your peace, your rest, and your sweet sleep. And you'll find that you'll be effective at ruling in the night.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.